At KPMG, our people make the difference. It's not just something we say, it's what we do. Combining the power of people and technology, we uncover brighter insights, innovate bolder solutions, and create better data-driven outcomes. KPMG, make the difference.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, and they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit truegreen.com, TRUGREEN.com, to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley. For the love of home.
Lay. Sir. Yeah. Yeah.
Kane is in the building.
Yeah. Alright, already the show goes on all night. Till the morning we dream so long. Anybody ever wonder when they would see the thunder? Just remember when you come up. The show goes on.
And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Always Pressing PGA DFS podcast, previewing the 2022 St. Jude Championship, the first leg of the FedEx Cup playoffs. In order to do so, you can find me on Twitter at BDentric, and my co-host is always on Twitter at DFS Golf God. Jesse, how we doing, man? I almost did the podcast there. I was just really out of zone. How we doing?
Yeah, it's about the first time I've ever heard you fuck that up.
Yeah. It's a Monday. It's a Monday. Yeah, that's all I can say. Yeah. But how's everything going?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Doing good. Fun weekend of golf. Tom Kim took the world by storm. Anybody that was in our Discord and probably many other chats elsewhere after the quad on his opening hole was like, F this. What the? And I was heavy. I was heavy, Tom Kim. But just to watch him battle back, I was like, holy crap, this kid. He's something else. So that was fun to see.
Yeah, that's quite the turnaround from – you know, opening up four over par and then finishing.
He won by like
20
five.
Under. Yeah, one shoot 9 under on Sunday is crazy.
And he was unconscious. Now, like, I think it was like 6 under on the front or something. I got to watch a lot of it, not all of it, but it was. He just made it look easy. Even Jeff Feinberg, who pretty much everybody knows, he tweeted it, and I was laughing at it. It was like it was a par three. He was feeling it with the putter, and it was like the 16th maybe, and he just blew it by. It felt like 10 feet. And I'm sitting there going, he's like a bogey-free round going. He's going to like find a way to screw this thing up. And then he just walks it in. He literally walked it in for the par. I was like, oh my gosh, the mojo in this guy. It was unbelievable. So that was fun to see.
He shot 8 under on the front.
8 under. Yeah, I knew it. Something. It was just lights out. It was ridiculous. Because there was at one point, he was like at 14 or 15. And I went to do something with the little one for like maybe 10 minutes, it felt like. And I came back and he already gained like 3 more shots. I'm like, what in the world just happened here? So he had to have an eagle birdie, is what it came down to. But he was feeling it. Sungjae didn't do much on Sunday, but back-to-back second place finishes for Sungjae.
Pretty solid.
So that was good to see. We had a lot of withdrawals. We had the
weather. Line,
the weather made things really rough. Yeah. So guys were like, screw it, I'm out. Screw this game. I'm already screwed. I'm done. Shane Lowry was at -1, looked like the cut was being -2, became -1. So he had to hop on the PJ Saturday morning to fly back to Carolina.
He left.
Yeah, so he had to fly back on. Oh, wow. He had to get on the PJ to fly back. He was in Florida when he got the notice because they finished the round Saturday morning. And when Smotherman missed the birdie and then double bogeyed, it changed the cut line from 2-1. There was like literally three or four guys left on the course. That's it.
I saw all that Friday night, and then I woke up early enough to like kind of follow it a little bit on Twitter. I didn't watch any of it, but to see the cut line, because it was basically either I was going to get 5 of 6 because I had Webb, and obviously he wasn't going to make it, or I was going to get like 2 of 6.
I
wasn't the only one in that boat. I know that.
That's why I tried to tell people like in our chat, like, oh, we want -1. I said, no, you don't. Like, yeah, we do. No, you don't. 87 golfers made the cut. It's like the most, I think, since they started this thing or something like that, they're saying. This is why the MDF was created, for those that might remember what that was. Right. It was just insanity. So a lot of six of sixes went through this weekend that didn't even cash, I saw. So that was a very, very exciting situation. But, yeah, Lowry had to get back on the PJ Saturday morning. It was very entertaining to see. See that one take place. It's nice to have that kind of luxury. It's almost like he has a live paycheck. But it was fun. It was good golf. A lot of new guys. You know, if you made your Asian lineups that people said, because there's great history there, it worked out pretty darn good.
I mean, they were like, they were in the top six. There was six Asians, including Kiradek.
I was like, your boy. I almost texted you. I said, you having a vape for the boy or what?
He had a hell of a fucking Saturday round, man.
His Sunday, though, like they kept showing him because he was kind of on the bubble of getting into the 125, and that boy just couldn't make a putt on Sunday. It was rough to watch. Yeah, he had so many chances, just could not make a putt. It was tough to see.
Yeah.
I think if he was like two or three under on the day, he would have been in the St. Jude this week. It was a tough one to watch. It hurt, but that's the beauty of that event. Like we talk about it in a few weeks with the Korn Ferry Finals, they do a great job of advertising, on keeping you up to date on who's going to get their card, who's not. They tried a little bit with the FedEx. They need to do more. Even like Max Homa and some other guys were tweeting out Friday night that goes, we need a live feed of Austin Smotherman's. Like, you guys need to get this together here. Come on.
Right. I mean, it was huge. Like, it's for a lot of different reasons, but especially those particular guys who were on the bubble. Yeah, I get. Yeah, I'm with you.
It's like, come on, get to your target demo. Let's make this happen. But other than that, it was a fun week of golf. Nothing too crazy. Guys resting up, getting ready for the St. Jude, the top 125 in the FedEx, technically the top like 139 if you break it down, because 14 live guys are not making this, so they become the top 125. We're gonna have 122 because Fleetwood is not gonna be there. He's mourning the death of his mother still. He said he might not even play the whole playoffs, so he might, the next time you see him, apparently be on the DP World Tour. Berger still having back issues, it sounds like, so that's no good. And Lanto Griffin is dealing with an injury as well. And those guys might not even, I think they qualify for next week, but they have a long shot to get to the top 30 at Eastlake. So it'll be interesting to see what takes place there. But what do you have for past event history? Because this is a different, event technically for this tournament in a weird way, if that makes sense.
Yeah, originally it was at this golf course, it was this FedEx, or it was just the St. Jude Classic. Mm-hmm. And then FedEx came in and made it a WGC. It was a WGC FedEx. And now it's WCG FedEx St. Jude Invitational, sponsored by FedEx.
By way of UPS to FedEx.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know. But long story short, we got plenty of course history with TPC Southland there in Memphis. Which I'm sure you'll talk about. But last year, Abraham Answer won this tournament 16 under in a playoff over Sam Burns and Hideki. 2020 was JT's year. 13 under, three shots over Berger, Koepka, Tom Lewis, Phil Mickelson. 2019 was Koepka, 16 under, three shots over Webb Simpson. JT has actually won this twice. His first time was in 2018. Actually, that was the Bridgestone, so just check that. The last three years.
Yeah.
DJ won this in 2001 at this golf tournament and won this actual golf tournament at this course in 2018. But
what's gonna be really weird is because it was the WGC St. Jude, so it's a different time of year. I think it was like pretty close to after the British. I think it's what it felt like a week or two.
It was
after
in
the British.
Like June. It was right before. For a while, it was right before the U.S. Open.
Okay, that's what it was. I remember it was the summer event because they go down there and get tuned up. But
because DJ one year played nine holes at this event and then got on a private jet and flew to Oregon because they were playing, I think it's Oregon. Yeah. The one that he ended up winning, I think.
Yeah. Why am I totally blanking on Bandon Dunes?
Yeah. Yeah. Whatever it's called.
Yeah. But that was top 75 in the world golf rankings. The St. Jude Classic obviously has more of a full field, different type of event though. And if you look on Fantasy National, one thing to check, if you look at past event history, it takes you to the Northern Trust, because the Northern Trust used to be the first leg of the FedEx Cup playoffs. So keep that in mind. You can change it around and look for WGC St. Jude and everything, but it's a little different. So don't just go straight off the first click you make on that, like I did for about 5 minutes, and realized, wait a minute, this ain't right. And that made sense as well. So event history there will be a little different because Tony Finau won that event last year when he finally broke through with his first win, not in the you know, the islands. So that was big for him. A lot has changed since then, obviously. But
Chambers yeah. Bay. That's what Chambers the golf Bay, course is. Chambers Bay, not Bandon Dunes. Yeah.
Bandon was a different year. Sorry. Chambers Bay. No, it's good. I'm glad you got it because someone would have yelled at me somewhere along the line on this one. You're an idiot. What are you doing recording the podcast? I'm not, trust me, I've heard it all. But
I guarantee it, as many as you record.
You've heard TPC. You mentioned TPC Southwind. We love TPC courses because they're usually high scoring. Not so much this one. As you heard Jesse talk about scores, you can score here. Don't get me wrong, but this is a much more than a wide open resort course like most TPCs. It's a par 70, 7,233 yards, can stretch out to close to 7,300, depending on how they set it up. Fairways aren't super wide, but not super narrow. They're pretty average, but you have to hit them because the rough is super penal. Bermuda, it's Bermuda throughout the course, pretty much. Very, very penal Bermuda roughs, and the greens are super firm and fast. So if you're getting out of the rough, you're not going to be able to get them to stick on the green. So you're going to have to get good at scrambling. Something to think about if you look at a lot of these past winners here. Like you can bomb it, or you can be like a DJ or JT, use a lot of three woods and just hit your precision shots. Or you mentioned Answer and some of these other guys that have done well here. It makes a lot of sense. Tons of water. Water is on 11 holes here. Comes into play. In recent years, it has the most water penalties on tour, even more than the Honda, which we always sit there and go, oh, crap about. This one eats people alive if you're wayward, and that happens a lot if you're not sitting in the fairway. So fairway finding is very, very key. You'll get your opportunities for birdies in that regard. Otherwise, you're just scrambling to save par at that point in time. These greens are fast and firm, but very, very pure. You'll hear these guys talk about if they like putting on Bermuda, they're going to love these greens. That's something to look at. A lot of shots range from like 125 to 175-ish. So like your mid-iron play seems to be pretty prominent here. It's not as much a wedge fest because guys are laying up more to get the next shot in. A lot of the par fours are 450 to 500. The two par fives are very, very gettable. Obviously, you got to take advantage of that. And the par threes are shorter than we've been seeing lately. None of them are over 196 yards. As I look at the scorecard in recent weeks, we've had a lot of 200, 220-plus par threes, which become very challenging as well. So it's a shot maker's course. Obviously, tee to green game is going to be tremendous. I think I read somewhere that it's like four of the last five winners at this golf course were all top five in tee to green by the end of the weekend. That sounds like a simple thing to do, but when we go to these other bomb and gouge courses, that's not as necessarily the same thing. So it's very important to be very precise from tee to green. So what do you got for us stats on this one?
So you're not saying it's as much of a luck box putting week?
No, you got to be able to get there to give yourself a chance. And then putting will work here. But yeah, no, the luck, this isn't like I can hit it anywhere and just wedge it up there and then luck box putt. No, this is, you got to have your shit together to have a chance. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think you hit on a lot of the things as far as like accuracy off the tee is important. Par five scoring generally every week matters. Stroke scanned approach. And then obviously plenty of course history that I'll wait as well.
All righty, let's take a look at the DK picks on the week. And for once, we have a lot of 9 and 10K golfers.
Yeah,
this is
shit.
A beautiful, beautiful thing. And it's like a major event. We got the top players in the world. So, and again, it's there'll be 122 golfers. It's still T65 and ties get into the weekend. Top 70 make it to next week's round of the FedEx playoffs. So keep that in mind. But seven guys, 10K and above. Rory McIlroy at 11,000. Scottie Scheffler at 10,800. Xander, 10,600. Cam Smith at 10.5, Patrick Cantlay at 10.3, JT at 10.2, and John Rahm, how the mighty have fallen, down to $10,000. So what do you got for us in this range? Because it's loaded.
Yeah, definitely, most definitely loaded. My favorite play up here is going to be Patrick Cantlay. You know, he finished second at the Rocket Mortgage, fourth at the Scottish Open. I think he missed the cut at the British at the Open Championship. Maybe for whatever reason.
No, I got him T8 at the Open.
There we go, T8. So that's three straight top tens for him. I mean, he's just trending toward a win. He's got decent course history, 23rd, 35th, 12th. I almost didn't click him, but I just looking at like how well he's been playing recently, I think he's eventually going to win. If you know, it might be one of these three next events, if it's not some rando event in the fall. Cam Smith, I think, is fine. Scottie Scheffler, I think, is fine, too. And then, of course, Rory. I mean, Rory's played here plenty. We know how good he's been playing this year. I think he's fine. But, you know, if I'm going to narrow it down to one person, it's going to be Cantlay for me.
Yeah, recent form is going to be a massive piece of what I want to look at here, like just overall finishes. And that's why I have Cantlay checked off as well. Out of, like, the 10K and above range, he's ranked 39th in my model. He's only John Rahm's ranked – he's 41st worst in out of these seven guys in my model. But you mentioned that the finishing positions from Cantlay of late have been outstanding. He's just really, really locked in at the moment. He's third in birdie or better in the last 24 rounds, eighth in scrambling, which is going to be very big. Saving par on a lot of these holes is going to be very, very vital to making things happen out here. So I got Cantlay checked off as well, like Cam Smith. It is a little scary because, like we talked about at the Open Championship, you can be a little wayward at the Open out there at St. Andrews. Here, not as much. And Cam likes to be wayward with the tee shot. So much riskier, but still, if he's on, he's one of the best in this field, no doubt about it. All these guys are. And then I got Scottie Scheffler checked off as well. You can go anywhere you want up here. I'm not going to argue with you, but those are the three I got checked off. And I'm thinking Cantlay comes in rather low-owned in this group.
I think you will. I think you will, too. There's just so many names up here. I mean, so many good golfers. JT always gets
everyone's going to play JT, for sure.
Everyone. I mean, Rahm maybe gets some.
At 10K, people probably like flock to that, I would think.
It's crazy, though, how bad
he's been.
Well, I mean, relatively speaking, you know.
Well, yeah, in Rahm terms, he's been bad. Right? Like, he's finished 34th of the Open and 55th of the Scotch. Just the last two events I got. But
right. But he hasn't missed a cut since October.
Yeah, we're expecting top 10s everywhere from Rahm.
Yeah, right. Like and a win at some point. You know, I mean, he did win the Mexico
outside of Mexico, but does that really count? Like, really?
Right,
really?
I mean, that field was pretty weak.
That's like Tony Finau winning, you know, in Puerto Rico. Like, does that really count? But I guess it does. It counted in the bank account. That's for darn sure. But, you know, honestly, if Wednesday I'm making lineups and I see Rahm's projected less than 10%, like, I will probably end up loading up on Rahm. That was, because as bad as he's playing, I prefer Cantlay over Rahm. If anybody could take a few weeks off and, you know, get right, that guy is one that could be very, very enticing. But that's what I'm saying now on a Monday afternoon. We'll see how the week shakes out. All right, 9K range. You got Fitzpatrick at 98, Finau after back-to-back dubs and a week off at 97, Willie Z at 95, Cam Young up to 93, getting some respect. Jordan Spieth at 91 and Vic Hovland at 9,000. Another pretty strong range, Jesse.
Yeah, I mean, Fitzpatrick for me, he's got pretty good course history. 57th last year, 6th the year before that, 4th the year before that. So does have two top 10s, almost two top 5s in 3 appearances here. And obviously we just know how well he's been playing of late. Cam Young at 9,300 definitely gets my interest. You know, 2nd his last time out at the Rocket Mortgage Classic, obviously was in contention at the Open Championship. And you know, he hits it really far, but pretty accurate and hits a shit ton of greens and has been scrambling very well of late as well. So when he misses it, he's been getting up and down, which is obviously something that that you want out of a golfer. And then last but not least, Jordan Spieth, 12th, 30th, 12th in his last 3 appearances at this golf course and is just Jordan Spieth. I don't know. I think he's got a chance to get inside that top 10 this week.
Yeah, this is a fun range. I love Fitzpatrick. I'm hoping that my model has him as 38th. I'm hoping other people don't have him high and kind of gets overlooked. But he's 10th stroke gained off the tee, 10th birdie or better, 11th tee to green, first in scrambling over the last 24 rounds. We know, like you said, he won the U.S. Open. Like, I love what we got. Talking about fairway finding, he's struggled of late finding the fairway, but a pretty consistent guy overall. So I'd like to see some more from him. I want to see what Finau's ownership looks like. It's hard to keep going back to him after back-to-back wins and a week off, but he's first. It's every stat's amazing with him. He's so locked in right now. It's stupid. First tee to green, 4th scrambling, 2nd birdie, but he's go down the list. He's crushing everything. So Finau is very, very enticing at 97. Cam Young, though, at 9,300, I like a lot. I'm with you on that one. 5th and birdie are better, 2nd and tee to green over the last 24 rounds in this field. Then Spieth and Hovland are both very, very much in play. That course history for Spieth, it's always plus. He's got those courses he loves, and it usually does not fail. So that's one I like a lot with him. Hovland at 9K is going to be a tough one to pass. Well, the next guy we're going to talk about is going to be real tough to pass on. But Hovland at 9K, he's a guy that I could see winning this, but also like just completely shitting the bed. So that'll be an interesting one to kind of, as the week goes on, see where the ownership lands on that one. I think it'll be pretty popular, but we'll have to wait and see. 8K range. somehow. I know he's been struggling, a couple missed cuts in a row. Colin Morikawa is $8,700, a thing I never thought I would see again. Sam Burns is 86, Sungjae 85, Hideki 84, Shane Lowry 83, Billy Ho at 82, Neiman 81, and Tom Kim is $8,000. The chalkiest play. No, I was kidding. What do you got in this range?
Yeah, I mean, there's plenty here too. Sam Burns would be my top play, but I think he's going to be extra chalky on DraftKings. I've already seen his name a couple times, and I know people are betting him on Twitter, so that always tends to inflate ownership. He did finish second here last year. You know, his recent form is not like off the charts. He does have a win over the last couple months, so pretty solid there. Sungjae, man, back-to-back top twos like you talked about. He has made, you know, decent finishes here the last couple tries, 46th and 35th. I mean, not great, but not terrible either. So I'll take that, especially with this current form of back-to-back top twos. Lowry, the model likes him quite a bit. His course history is pretty good, 23rd, 6th, 30th. Did finish DFL last week of the guys who made the cut. But like you said, I guess he was in a rush to come back.
I don't even know why he flew back the way he finished. Like, he clearly did not care to be there.
Yeah, I'm also kind of surprised myself, but I'm also surprised that he left knowing that there was
a chance,
really a good chance, that it was going to go back to one. That blows my mind. And then Tom Kim, man, 8,000. I mean, why fade the hot hand? You know what I mean? Obviously, coming off the win, has just been playing out of his mind. 7th at the Rocket Mortgage, 26th at 3M. 3rd at the Scottish Open, just playing really good golf. I don't know why, you know, I mean, so I don't know that it'd be interesting to see where his ownership's going to be like, but coming off the win, I don't know why you wouldn't play him. He's just playing well. And he has to play even better to advance. I would assume. I don't know what his position is.
I think he's like 32nd.
Oh, did he jump up that high?
Yeah. Cause he got 500 points for the win. I get already like 480 before that. So he has almost 1,000 points. I want to say he's like 32nd. Like he's up there. Which, well, is crazy.
There you go.
Like, I could be wrong, but I thought that's what I saw. So keep that in mind. Yeah, this is crazy. Like, Colin Morikawa, huh? We're like, it feels so weird passing on him here, even though he's playing so bad. He's still 9th in my model, but it's been brutal. Been pretty brutal lately. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not doing it. So.
It's tough. I don't mind the Burns call. I like Sungjae a lot. I would love to play Hideki, but the back issues, the withdrawals, I'm terrified. He would be perfect for this golf course, but I'm going to have to pass on him for now. Lowry rates out well, but I'm going to go to Billy Ho at 82. We're talking about his 8th in fairways gain, 6th in scrambling. Like, he's great around the green. Like, this is a guy that can really give you some chances on a place where you don't have to go super low. So I like Billy Ho in that regard, and I don't mind Tom Kim either, so I'm with you on that one. This 8K range is very tricky for me because there's a lot of guys I want to play, but I can make arguments in this range more so than others to be like, no, we're going to pass on him. We're going to pass on him, and we're going to like focus over here. And I think Billy Ho hopefully comes in low-owned. We'll see. He gets more popular each week, which really sucks, but we'll see how that goes. 75 to 79, you got Homa, Henley, Hatton, Riley, Wise, Pendrith, Connors, Seamus, Mito, Bradley, Scott, Seabez. What do you like here?
Henley at 7,800. I mean, you talk about a guy who just, you know, obviously is very good, usually tee to green. I don't know why you wouldn't play him. Course history is a little sketch. The last start he had here was 2017. He missed the cut, but 7th before that, missed cut before that, 27th before that. So I feel like he's playing better, though. Where did he finish last week? Do you have that?
Which guy?
Henley.
Yeah, he finished. I had him in my one and done. He played very well. There it is. I believe it was like 5th.
Yeah. I knew he had a solid finish. It's just,
yeah, he's kind of puttered out towards the end too. He was contending for a little bit there.
And then 7,700, Aaron Wise, another guy, just tee to green, is solid week in, week out. Made the cut last week, made the cut at the U.S. Open, the Memorial. So has been playing solid golf. And then Bezenhout, the model likes him. He finished 20th here back in 2020, 16th at the Scottish Open, 2nd to John Deere, you know, playing solid golf. So at 7,500, I think he's fine as well.
Yeah, this is Team Always Max show. So Max Homa will be in play once again on this course. We'll roll with Max. I love Henley. He's one of my favorite plays. He's one of my favorite plays last week. Worked out well. I'll go right back to him. 3rd in my model, 1st in approach, 2nd opportunities gained, 10th in greens and reg, 12th in fairways gained, 9th tee to green. He's really playing well the last 24 rounds. so I don't mind some Henley. I like Wise as well. He really came on over the weekend. He snuck into the cut and then came on strong over the weekend. I'll go that route again. Just find the fairway. He's 93rd in his field and fairways the last 24 rounds, which is slightly concerning, but hopefully that one sticks together. And then Taylor Pendrith, he rates out really well. I'm just really nervous. Like, he's for a guy that bombs it, he finds the fairway better, more often than not, which is actually pretty good compared to most. He's 12th in tee to green over the last 24 rounds. I'm still a little nervous, but if he can pipe it and keep it in the fairway, we have some good stuff there. So I'll go Pendrick, hopefully lower owned, because Connors is always popular. So Pendrick at the 76. Mito rates out so well, but he's playing so – he's missed four straight cuts, Jesse. Like, I can't touch the guy.
Yeah, it's been rough since the PGA Championship.
He's eighth in my model. I just don't know what stats they're looking at. It's mind-boggling.
He actually played better after 7th, 13th after the PGA Championship, and then, yeah, like you said, four straight miscuts, yeah.
It's been a rough go of late. I guess that's only eight rounds because he didn't make the cut, so the other 16 rounds were good rounds of golf. That's probably why he's rated so high.
Yeah.
7K to 7,400, what are you looking at?
Thigala, 7,400, just going to play him every week. Like I've talked about in the past, I'm not falling for the Webb Simpson trap again this week. So if you want to go back to Webb, that's probably like a good thing if you want to play Webb. I'm not going to play him. It was some absolute horseshit last weekend. Noren, 7,200. Course history is one start, finished 12th. That's fine. Second place at the Barracuda, 30th at the Scottish Open in his last two starts. Cam Davis, man, he's been playing really solid golf. One start here, he finished 60th last year, which I'm pretty sure was a no-cut event. Then, I don't know, whatever. It's too damn complicated to figure out. But 14th, 16th, 6th, 8th in his last four starts. So very solid for him. Scott Stallings actually had some good course history. And then you throw that in with the fact that he's playing good golf. Why would you not play Scott Stallings?
It's terrifying. It's terrifying. I'm waiting for that other shoe to drop, but it has not dropped yet.
Oh, 1,000%. Like, yeah. And then Griot at 7,000 would be my last in this range. Back-to-back top twos for him, which is pretty good. The course history is non-existent, so just good luck. I mean, he's literally like I think a solid GPP play because of that, because he has no course history. So maybe he plays really well here. Maybe he doesn't. But if it's not a putting fest, that's in Griot's favor typically.
In a big way. Don't mind Thigala. Like you said, he can go high or low at all times. I think JT Poston, 37th of my model, coming in pretty good form, 21st at the Wyndham, 11th at the 3M. Obviously a win about a month or so ago. So you can look at JT. Siwoo, people see the withdrawal last week. He made the cut. When the rain hit on Saturday, he's like, screw this, I'm not going to win, I'm out. Like he's like 10 or 11 shots off the lead. He's like, eh, I don't need to hang around for this. So he bounced. Prior to that, 14th at the Rocket Mortgage, 15th at the Open. I think Siwoo at 73 always has some GPP appeal. Just know he could leave at any moment in time. Love Cam Davis at 72. I've been playing him every week. That's not going to change this week. I'm with you on Scott Stallings. He's 12th in my model. It's hard to ignore how good he's been. It's pretty crazy. And then Brendan Steele at 7K. He's 13th in my model, 5th off the tee, 5th in approach, 7th from tee to green over the last 24 rounds. Scrambling is less than ideal for Steele, and it's always the putter like we talked about, but it's not – luck box putting week, so that's always big. So I think Brendan Steele at $7,000 rates out really, really well for this event, especially just a fairway finding mission. He finished third at the Rocket Mortgage. So I like some Brendan Steele in this one. What do you got in the 6K range?
Start up top with Hubbard at 6,900.
Yep. Keep going.
Just, I guess. I mean, did he make the cut last week?
Mm-hmm. On the number. Snuck in at that minus one.
All right. Well, that is excellent. And then obviously missed the cut the week before that, but course history is okay. He hasn't played here since 2017, finished 47th, missed cut the year before that, 45th the year before that. So not terrible. Alex Smalley at 6,800. Never played here, but the model seems to like him all right. Strelman, same scenario, except for he has played here, 35th last year, missed cut in 2014, 60th in a couple years before that, and has made four straight cuts on tour. I don't think he played last week. Knox is all right. Trey Mullinax, man. I mean, the guy finished sixth here in 2018, 18th the year before that. So solid course history. Obviously has the win in his bag over the last month at the Barbasol Championship, aka the sixth major. So I think he's a really solidly in play at 6,500. And that's all I really got down here, man. I mean, there's some other guys you might click on, like Hayden Buckley, Grayson Sigg, if you want to get, you know, if you're way down toward the bottom down there. But that's about as far down as I'm willing to go is Mullinax.
Yeah, we have a lot of similar ones. I had Hubbard checked off because I love everything about Hubbard. He makes a sweat, but when he's on, he can really go. So I like that. Smalley is playing really good golf, as you mentioned. Taylor Moore at $6,800 is another guy I will take a stab on this week. He finished fifth at the Wyndham, sixth at the Rocket Mortgage, 21st at the sixth major of the year, the Barbasol. So Taylor Moore is one I can get behind. Brandon Wu playing some good golf right now if you want to ride current form. Troy Merritt, 59th in my model, but third in fairways gained, if you want to go with that angle in this one. Coming in with some pretty okay form, 14th at the Rocket Mortgage, 49th at the 3M, 30th at the Scottish Open. So he can be a fun one in that price range. Callum Tarrant's a guy I keep going to, super risky, but got upside. I actually had Trey Mullinex checked off as well, which surprised me. And then a couple other darts. I could see Kurt Kitayama, who can play well in big fields. So he's not scared of the moment. Water courses, accuracy courses, actually fare well for him, even though he's 102 in the field and fairways gained. He's actually been pretty good in that regard. And then T-Dunks, he missed on the number, missed the cut on the number as he trunk slammed on Friday. So I could go back to be 32nd in my model, 10th in scrambling, 12th in fairways gains. I don't mind going back to T-Dunks if you need to as well. All right, 10K and above, where are you going?
I will say Cantlay.
Since you took Cantlay, that's my number one pick. I will go to Scottie Scheffler, but Cantlay is the dog. 9K range.
I'm going to say Cam Young.
I like that. I'll go Fitzpatrick, 8K range.
Sung Jae.
I am going to go with Billy Ho, 75 to 79.
Henley.
Yeah, that's the play. I'll go Max Homa to keep things like you know, what we do on the show. 7K to 75.
Thigala.
I'll take Cam Davis. And then 6K range.
Mullinax.
I'll go with Smalley. That'd be my guy, Smalley. All right, if you're starting a cash game lineup and it's the last week to do it, if you're going to do it at all, where would you be starting things out?
Yeah, Sam Burns and Sung Jae, I think, are solid right there and decent price ranges as well. And then, you know, you can go with Henley is borderline for me just because of the he hasn't played here in a while, but he's playing well enough, so I'm going to say Henley.
Yeah, I was going to say Henley, like Horschel and M. That's where I'd go right out the gate, right in that mid-range there. It leaves you a lot of flexibility to make some things happen. If you're going to play a GPP lineup, though, where are you going?
Cantlay. Already talked about him quite a bit. Thigala. And then I would probably get somebody kind of mid-range, like just Jordan Spieth-ish.
That's not a bad move. I'm going to go Cantlay, Cam Young, and Max Homa. That's where I'll be starting things out. And this is a fun week with a loaded field, but usually the cream rises to the crop in these events. Who you got winning this thing?
It's a great question. I mean, Sung Jae at 35, I think, is good odds there. It starts to get a little bit more sketch kind of when you get down below about that 35 to 40 range. I mean, like Tom Kim being 40 to one in this field, I don't know about that. I think that's probably a bit of a stretch if you want to look at, like, more of the favorites. Unfortunately, Cantlay is third betting favorite at 14 to 1, but – I like him to win, so 14 to 1, if you hit that, is 14x your money. Yeah.
Yep. Victor at 35 is interesting. I think that's got a little – eventually you think he's going to win one of these big ones. It just feels like he's going to, but maybe I'm just overthinking things. But he'd be one that I wouldn't mind. Long shots are tricky the more I look at them down here. Rahm at 20. When was the last time we saw Rahm at 20?
That's getting up there, man.
That's an interesting one to look at as well.
Finau is the same price as
Rahm.
John Rahm.
Shit. Yeah, that's times have changed. Says a lot. Says a lot. But then also Fitzpatrick's up to 14 with Cantlay and Thomas and Xander. Yeah. So that says a lot too.
Yes.
But gonna be some fun numbers here. Yeah, I think I'm with you. I think Sung Jae's nice. I think I mentioned Victor at 35, Henley at 50. I think Henley's real close to putting one together. And then Homa at 50, I don't mind either. That's a guy that can win on any event, any field, does not matter.
For sure.
All right. That's going to wrap us up. Any final thoughts for the FedEx St. Jude?
I don't.
All right. It's going to be a fun one. We get 122 golfers, T65 and ties. Next week, 70 golfers, and then down to 30 golfers before we hit the President's Cup and the fall swing of things. If you have any questions, we're on Twitter at AlwaysPressDFS. Jesse's at DFS Golf Gods. I'm at BD Intric, and good luck, everybody. We'll catch you guys.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.